Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing, share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawubona. In Senegal, nanga def. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings. And may peace be upon you all.
Grand Rising, and thank you all for joining us on this Thursday morning on the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, executive producer, and of course, we are once again presenting Soulful Solutions. And our host, Dr. Debbie Green, had to step away to address a patient, but we are still going to give you some soulful solutions as we take a look at something that happens to all of us, and yet we are not aware of how it affects our health. We're looking at diseases caused by anger and unforgiveness. Healing diseases caused by unforgiveness, because the healing doesn't come from the pills that the doctor gives you. It doesn't come from your eating a bowl of chicken soup. It doesn't come from the aspirin that gets rid of the headache. Healing has to come from a change of heart, because your body is giving you signals that you are projecting negative energy coming from your emotions. So those who are skilled in the mind-body-spirit connection of holistic healing have presented a number of videos, and we'll share some of their insight with you to help you recognize that all physical illnesses are manifestations of dis-ease of the mind. Mind, body, spirit, it's all one. And yet, if we try to treat one entity, the body, if the rest of the mind, body, spirit complex is in a state of dis-ease, then the sickness will just reappear. this is how our healthcare system has thrived, by treating the symptoms of your illness instead of healing you from the dis-ease created by your negative energy, from your thoughts, creating emotions that your body is giving you signals, are producing negativity and harming the very cells in your body. We are all energy beings, and when we project negative energy from our thoughts, creating negative emotions, the cells in our body are connected to that energy and affected by that energy and will begin to manifest malfunctions. If no one ever tells you this, if your doctors never tell you, if your medical school training doesn't tell you, if your pharmaceutical providers don't tell you, then how are you going to know that the anger that you're holding toward your spouse, toward your mother, toward your friend, is the cause of your illness? How are you going to know that? And if you are never told this, and you go to your doctor, and your doctor prescribes pills and ointments and liquids, maybe you even have an operation to take out some malfunctioning part of your body, you do all these things, and yet the illness keeps manifesting in another part of your body, in something else that's hurting, something else that has developed cancerous cells, something else that causes pain, even though you're taking your medication. If no one told you that when you heal your body, it will be because you let go of the anger. If you could forgive, then you would heal. If no one tells you that, then you will keep holding on to the anger, and you will keep getting sick, and your health care providers, which are providing you with treatment for your symptoms coming from your unforgiveness, they will keep getting wealthy. So if you choose to heal, you must choose to forgive. And it has nothing to do with who's right and who's wrong. It has nothing to do with who started it. It has nothing to do with whether or not you deserved to be treated that way. It has to do with letting go of anger. It has to do with removing the energy that's making you sick. And when you change the energy, you change the impact on the cells in your body. And when you give positive healing energy to the cells in your body, you heal the sickness. Because that's where the sickness starts. So those who have heard the philosophies and the teachings of holistic healers often ask, well, why aren't they teaching this in school? Why aren't doctors learning this? Because it's more profitable for you not to know it. If you knew this, then what would you need them for? If you could heal yourself by simply changing the energy created by your thoughts, what would you need them for? So when our healthcare system is truly of the intention of keeping people healthy, then we will actually begin to teach methods of restoring health. Until that time, what you will get are treatments for the sick symptoms of your illness. But the actual illness is not what's manifesting in your body. The actual illness is what was manifested in your mind, which then created emotions producing negative energy, which affected the cells in your body, which became your sickness. So if you are aware of this and you have pains in your body, then perhaps you can begin to examine where in your life you have pain, where in your life you have been hurting, where in your life are you still feeling resentment, because this is where the healing begins, recognizing that it isn't physical. It isn't physical. It is emotional. And some people may hear this and say, well, what do you mean? It's not all in my mind. I'm actually feeling pain. This isn't something I'm imagining. No, it isn't imagination. It isn't something that doesn't exist. It does exist. Your sickness is very real. Your malfunctioning body is very real. The cancer in your colon, your lungs, your breasts, it's very real. And you will expire for real. So no, we're definitely not saying that your illness is a figment of your imagination. It is not a figment of your imagination. It is created by your imagination, because you are imagining that you are lesser than what you are based on what someone else may have done to you. And therefore, you're holding the anger and hurt of that imagining. If you understood that no one's treatment of you can ever change the reality of who you are, then you would never be angry at someone's misbehavior. What you are holding is the imagined belief that someone's misbehavior has changed your value. And so as long as you hold that belief, it will make you sick. And this is what you're experiencing. So for those who are holding on to an incorrect belief about themselves based on someone telling them something negative or doing something negative or based on someone disappointing them or maybe even deceiving them. If you're holding the thought that you are of lesser value because of someone else's behavior, then that thought will make you sick. It most definitely will make you sick. It will make you sad and depressed, maybe even angry. And these negative emotions will affect the cells in your body, and you will become sick. This is the challenge that those who are seeking to truly kill must overcome the power of your thoughts about yourself. Anytime you hold anger at someone because of how they have treated you, it's because somewhere in your mind you're believing that their behavior has somehow lessened your value. You're believing that in your imagination. And so as a result of that wrong thought, you're becoming ill. It truly is a matter of thought. But who teaches you how to control your thoughts? Who teaches you how to correct your thoughts? Who teaches you how to realize that your thoughts are affecting your feelings and your health? Who teaches you this? And how will you know if no one will tell you? How will you know if no one will tell you that every illness you have ever had first began in your mind? How will you know? And if you can accept that reality, then that means examining your mind to determine what are you thinking that's hurting you. So we're going to go to our phone lines, and then we're going to share some discussions on healing with some of our holistic health practitioners, those who are realizing we cannot heal the body unless we heal the mind. And if we don't heal the mind, then whatever physical treatment we give the body, it will simply reappear after we've treated the symptoms, because the cause of the illness has not changed. It's still present. This is the greatest challenge that we have in changing the thought of the healthcare system and believing that the mind, body, and spirit are separate, when in fact they are one unit, all affecting each unit of who we are. We are a mind, body, spirit complex. So if you go to a doctor and they don't take the time to ask questions about how you're feeling, what are you experiencing, are you under any emotional stress, then they're simply going to treat the symptoms of your illness, which means in a little while you're going to be right back at the doctor's office with the same sickness, having to refill a prescription. So we've got some callers on the line, and we're working with our camera on our YouTube and Facebook pages, having a little technical difficulty, but of course we can still be heard, and you'll also be able to hear the presentations we'll be sharing with you. And if we are able to work on this camera situation, you might even be able to see a little bit of it, but you'll be able to hear. So let's go to our phone lines now. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. So let's first go to area code 863-816, Grand Rising. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comments.
Grand Rising. Yeah, I get what you're saying, and I think it applies to many illnesses. But what about people who haven't become aware of food allergies that are specific to them? I'll give an example with using myself. Several years ago, when it was, you know, hot and summertime, real hot day, I didn't have much money, but I had a dollar. So for a dollar, I can go to 7-Eleven and buy a 3-liter thing of soda or pop, as some people call it. And I figured I was good. So I put it in the refrigerator, chilled it, and was drinking it. But then within a matter of hours, I found myself mad, angry, for no reason. So I'm thinking, well, I haven't talked to anybody lately. So the only thing I could figure was, okay, what did I ingest? And the only thing I can think of was that soda that I drank that was loaded with sugar. So I didn't drink the rest of that because I didn't like that feeling of just being mad for no reason at all. And then I also discovered that there were certain foods that I loved to eat, or certain types of the times of the day that I liked eating. Like I used to eat like heavy meals at 1:30, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, spaghetti and meatball. But then I would get sick, you know, maybe about 2 or 3 hours later. So I even had to come up with an affirmation that the pleasure of eating this at 10 o'clock at night is not worth the pain I'm going to feel, you know, 2 or 3 hours later. So I just discovered that I had food allergies. There's certain foods that I shouldn't eat, and then I started to eat. If I'm going to eat that day, I need to do it. I follow nature. I try to eat before the sun goes down. I don't try to eat anything after the sun goes down unless it's juice or a glass of water or something like that. So I think a lot of people get sick because they just have never been educated on their food allergies out here. And, you know, you need to be careful of what you're eating and when you're eating, because if you get sick and then you keep on getting sick, then that eventually could develop into some type of disease that could take you away from it. Anyway, but, I would say awareness would be key. But I do agree with a lot of people, what's the right word? I think they make themselves sick because of certain false beliefs. I'll give you my mother passed away like about 2.5 years ago. Now, she was a registered nurse, worked a lot in the emergency room, gunshot wound stabbings and all that type stuff. So she lived to be 92, which is a pretty good stretch. But she had taken some medication, prescription medication, which, in my opinion, I'm not a medical professor, that she did need to take and had an allergic reaction. She was afraid that if she stood up, she would fall down. So what she did was she got in bed, and long story short, the longer you stay in that bed, no matter what age you are, your body's going to break down, whether you're 92 or 12. And that's what happened to her. I got her a wheelchair and everything, but she was afraid to get out of bed, to move out of bed, even with the help of about 3 or 4 people, to get in a wheelchair. The fresh air, the exercise, the simple things that she had the ability to do prior to that allergic, even after she had that allergic reaction, in my opinion, it was enough time to, because she wasn't bedridden it, but in my opinion, it wasn't old age that took her out. It was her false belief that if she stood up, and if you stood up and you fall down, so what? You just get back up again. But anyway, that's L.A. snagging. Anyway, but, Your thoughts on the food, the food allergy thing, because a lot of people get sick, and they just don't. They have not been educated on what food allergies are and how to recognize. You know, if you get heartburn, you've had an allergic reaction to something you just ate. You better not eat it again. And Midol or Milatin and Alka-Seltzer and all this other stuff, Pepto-Bismol, eventually will do you no good. Anyway, those are my thoughts.
Well, thank you so much for those thoughts. And it is, your mind is a very powerful tool. And what you believe, you manifest. So people hear about psychosomatic illnesses, basically meaning that your mind has created the illness in your body, but your mind creates every illness in your body. So food allergies. Now, that's one we'll address a little later, because an allergic reaction to something has its roots somewhere. And so if you understand where something is rooted, you can perhaps understand where the allergy came from, and the allergy may disappear. We're going to see if we can discover one of the presenters who talks about an allergy that really was rooted in a life experience. So your mind, body, and spirit really is connected in ways that if you understood it, you could heal yourself, and you would also understand the causes of your illness. We're going to take another call before we take a break, and then we're going to go to break and come back and take some more calls. Let's go to area code 773-487, Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening audience and give us your thoughts. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Let's see if we got it.
Hear me, Mr. Clark. This is Kofi. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes. I hear you now.
Okay. That's a good conversation today in these times. I have a couple questions for you. Who do you think runs the government? Who do you think supports and finances the government? The biggest financier is the pharmaceutical companies. Now, what we've been doing, let me go further.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're living in a so-called world of truth and lie, okay? So you know me. I tell people I'm native. That frees me. I'm not indoctrinated. I see so many of my brothers and sisters who are indoctrinated. And they say, no, man, they brought us from Ghana. Really? They brought some change in Ghana. Well, Ghana didn't start until 1956. How you going to bring us in 1619 from Ghana, and Ghana was never existed? They're like, wow. And that breaks that hypnotic curse that has been placed upon us. I've seen it so many times. I've been preaching for a long time, and I know truth over lies gives you healing. If you ingest a lie, that will affect your body. Just like all these, you know, people out here believing in these variants and viruses, and it's affecting their minds because they're believing in a boogeyman that does not exist. And it's getting you sick because you really think it's it's real. You know? And we've been doing, you know the work you've been doing. Viana and all of us trying to get us to eat right and get on herbs and get away from these Monsanto's products and trying to eat, get away from the GMOs. Remember all that what we've been doing these past years?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
People have been recognizing that. And who gets affected by that? The hospitals. So now when you're sick, you're going to the health store. You call it a naturopath. You're dissecting yourself and saying, how did I get in this situation? What did I eat? What did I put in my body? Was it natural or unnatural? They are watching that. Now we're breaking loose from this system that has been set up for hundreds and hundreds of years lowering our birth rates, getting us sick by giving us fake food, and they're like, no, we cannot have this. We have to create something to fill our beds up. We need to get people back into the hospital to be dependent on us because they're getting away. People are growing gardens. They're growing farms, you know. And you look at them right now, now they're saying you got to have the vaccine to get into the stores and all that. I'm loving the game because I tell people it's a mandate. It's not a law. So it's really your choice. A business, it's your choice whether to follow this or not. But we're dealing with what you call like an Armageddon stage. What is it called? I can't think of the name right now. But it's evil versus good. This is what we're dealing with. And good is winning because truth is being spoken. We are calling, you know what I'm saying? So that is my position that keeps my mind healed. And if I ever feel bad, I realize, okay, what did I ingest, whether it was food or a lie? What did I, you know, did I let somebody in my mind to tell me something? You know, you're right. Sickness comes from thoughts. So my biggest, my purpose in life was to uncover the lies that we've been told, that we walk around in our ancestors' land thinking we're from another land. And it's putting us in a psychotic craziness. You can't be who you are spiritually because you think you're from another part of the continent. And we all have the problem. I have crucified Jesse Jackson, Farrakhan, all these leaders. I've attacked them all and said, you guys have been lying to us all these years, and I'm here to correct it. And they recognize me. People are recognizing me.
Because do they?
Yeah.
Take a break
it's
now.
Scary.
appreciate your call. Got to take a break, and we'll be back after this quick break with some healing strategies for those who are willing to share, understanding that we are a mind, body, spirit complex, and you are what you ingest, both with your eyes and ears, as well as your mouth. You become what you ingest. So what thoughts have you been absorbing, as well as what foods have you been absorbing? But the thoughts that you have allowed yourself to accept and believe are manifesting what you have become and what you're experiencing. Illness is a part of that ingestion. We'll come right back and talk about specific diseases caused by specific thoughts and feelings and how to undo the damage. We'll be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been a victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony and the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced, and we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
And we are back. You're listening to the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show, Soulful Solutions, and our host on Thursday, Dr. Debbie Green, had to step away and handle a patient. However, we are still in the Soulful Solutions business on Thursdays. And we want to share with you a wonderful writer, Louise Hay, born October 8, 1926. She's an American motivational author and the founder of Hay House and authored several New Thought self-help books, including the 1984 international bestseller, You Can Heal Your Life. She's been a metaphysical lecturer and teacher with more than 50 million books sold worldwide. And for more than 30 years, she helped people throughout the world discover and implement the full potential of their own creative powers for personal growth and self-healing. She's appeared on the Oprah Winfrey Show and many other TV and radio programs, both in the U.S. and abroad. And if you have not heard of Louise Hay, you need to go online and look up Louise, and that's Hay, H-A-Y, because she is one of those new thought healers that help us remember that we are one mind-body-spirit complex wherever we are. And so how we feel is going to affect how we feel. So in this presentation, she speaks of feelings of insecurity and not being enough. This is ultimately what leads to our physical sickness. Kufi alluded to people and their identifying themselves in a way that could be emotionally hurtful to themselves. Well, if in your self-identity there is some feeling of defectiveness, that feeling of defectiveness is going to manifest physically. But let's join Louise Hay as she speaks of feelings of insecurity and not being enough.
It is safe to look within. My body doesn't work. It hurts, bleeds, aches, oozes, twists, blows up, limps, burns, ages, can't see, can't hear, rots away, plus whatever else you may have created. I think I've heard them all. My relationships don't work. They are smothering, absent, demanding, don't support me, always criticizing me, unloving, never leave me alone, pick on me all the time, don't want to be bothered with me, walk all over me, never listen to me, plus whatever else you may have created. Yes, I've heard them all too. My finances don't work. They are non-existent, seldom there, never enough, just out of reach. Go out faster than they come in, won't cover the bills, slip through my fingers, plus whatever else you may have created. Of course, I've heard them all. My life doesn't work. I never get to do what I want to do. I can't please anyone. I don't know what I want to do. There's never any time for me. My needs and desires are always left out. I'm only doing this to please them. I'm just a doormat. Nobody cares what I want to do. I have no talent. I can't do anything right. All I do is procrastinate. Nothing ever works for me. Plus, whatever else you have created for yourself. All these I have heard and more. Whenever I ask a new client what is going on in their life, I usually get several of those answers. I know these complaints are only outer effects of inner thought patterns. Beneath inner thought patterns is another deeper, more fundamental pattern that is the basis of all the outer effects. I listen to the words they use as I ask some basic questions. What is happening in your life? How is your health? What do you do for a living? Do you like your work? How are your finances? How is your love life? How did the last relationship end? And the relationship before that, how did it end? Tell me about your childhood briefly. I watch body postures and facial movements. Mostly, I really listen to the words they say. Thoughts and words create our future experiences. As I listen, I understand why clients have particular problems. The words we speak are indicative of our inner thought patterns. Sometimes the words they use do not match the experiences they describe. Then I know either they are not in touch with what is really going on, or they are lying to me. Either one is a starting point and gives us a basis from which to begin. Exercise. I should. The next thing I do is to give them a pad and pen and ask them to write on the top of the page, I should. I ask them to list several ways to finish the sentence. Some people find it difficult to begin, and some have so many things to write. Then I ask them to read the list to me, one at a time, beginning each sentence with, I should. As they read each one, I ask, why? The answers that come out are interesting and revealing, such as, my mother said I should, because I'm afraid not to, because I have to be perfect. Well, everybody has to do that. Because I'm too lazy, too short, too tall, too fat, too thin, too dumb, too ugly, too worthless. These answers show where they're stuck in their beliefs and limitations. You see, I believe that should is one of the most damaging words in our language. Every time we use should, we are in effect saying wrong. Either we are wrong, or we were wrong, or we're going to be wrong. I don't think we need more wrongs in our life. We need to have more freedom of choice. I would like to take the word should and remove it from the vocabulary forever. I replace it with the word could. Could gives us choice, and we are never wrong. Then I ask them to reread the list one at a time, except this time to begin each sentence by saying, if I really wanted to, I could. This puts a whole new light on the subject. And as they do this, I ask them gently, why haven't you? And now we hear different answers. I don't want to. I'm afraid. I don't know how. Because I'm not good enough. Rate themselves for years for something they never wanted to do in the first place. Or they criticize themselves for not doing something that someone else said they should do. When they can see that, they can just drop it from the should list. What a relief that is. Look at all the people who force themselves for years into a career they don't like only because their parents said they should become a dentist or a teacher. How often have we felt inferior because we were told we should be smarter or richer or more creative? What is there on your should list that could be dropped with a sense of relief? We notice that many of the things we thought we should do are things we never wanted to do, and that we were only trying to please others. So many times it is because we are afraid or feel that we're not good enough. We start a process of releasing the feeling of being wrong because we are not fitting someone else's standards. Next, I explain to my clients my philosophy of life. Remember, I believe life is really very simple. What we give out, we get back. The universe supports every thought we choose to think and to believe. When we are little, we learn how to feel about ourselves by the reactions of the adults around us. These beliefs will be recreated as experiences as we grow up. With thought patterns, the point of power is always in the present moment. Changes can begin in this moment. In sessions with clients, I explain that no matter what their problem seems to be, there is only one thing I ever work on with anyone. This is loving the self. Love is the miracle cure. Loving ourselves works miracles. I'm not talking about vanity or arrogance or being stuck up, for that is not love. That is only fear. I am talking about having a great respect for ourselves and a gratitude for the miracle of our body and of our mind. Love to me is appreciation to such a degree that it fills my heart to overflowing. Love goes in any direction. I can feel love for the very process of life itself, the joy of being alive, the beauty I see, another person, knowledge, the process of the mind, our bodies and the way they work, animals, birds, fishes, vegetation in all its forms, the universe and the way it works. What can you add to this list? Let's look at some of the ways we don't love ourselves. We scold and criticize ourselves endlessly. We mistreat our bodies with food or alcohol or drugs. We choose to believe we are unlovable. We are afraid to charge a decent price for our services. We create illnesses and pain in our bodies. We procrastinate on things that would benefit us. We live in chaos and disorder. We create debt and burdens. We attract lovers and mates that belittle us. What are some of your ways? If we deny our good in any way, it is an act of not loving ourselves. I remember I worked with a client who wore glasses. And one day we released an old fear from childhood. And the next day she awakened to find that her contact lenses were bothering her too much to wear. And she looked around and found her eyesight was perfectly clear. Yet she spent the whole day saying, "I don't believe it, I don't believe it." And the next day she was back to wearing contacts. Our subconscious mind has no sense of humor. She couldn't believe that she had created perfect eyesight. Lack of self-worth is another expression of not loving ourselves. Tom was a very good artist, and he had several wealthy clients who loved to have him decorate a wall or two in their homes. Yet somehow he was always behind in his own bill paying. His original quote was never enough to cover the time involved to complete the work. Anyone who gives a service or creates a one-of-a-kind product can charge any price. People with wealth love to pay for what they get. It gives the item more value. More examples of lack of self-worth. Our partner is tired and grouchy, and we wonder what we have done wrong to cause it. He takes us out once or twice and never calls again. We think something is wrong with us. Our marriage ends, and we are sure we're a failure. We're afraid to ask for a raise. Our bodies do not match those in Gentleman's Quarterly or Vogue magazine, and we feel inferior. We don't make the sale or get the part, and we're sure we're not good enough. We're afraid of intimacy and allowing anyone to get too close, so we have anonymous sex. We can't make decisions because we're sure they'll be wrong. How do you express your lack of self-worth? How perfect you were when you were a tiny baby. Babies do not have to do anything to become perfect. They are already perfect, and they act as if they know it. They know they are the center of the universe. They're not afraid to ask for what they want. They freely express their emotions. You know when a baby is angry. In fact, the whole neighborhood knows. You also know when they're happy, for their smiles light up a room, and they are full of love. Tiny babies will die if they do not get love. Once we are older, we learn to live without love, but babies will not stand for it. Babies also love every part of their bodies, even their own feces. They have incredible courage, and they have no guilt and no shame. We were all like that. Then we began to listen to adults around us who had learned to be fearful, and we began to deny our own magnificence. I never believe it when clients try to convince me how terrible they are or how unlovable they are. My work is to bring them back to the time when they really knew how to love themselves. Mirror exercise. I suggest a mirror exercise. I ask a client to pick up a small mirror, to look into their eyes, and to say their name, and "I love and accept you exactly as you are." This exercise is so difficult for many people. Seldom do I get a calm reaction, let alone an enjoyment of the exercise. Some are close to tears, some get angry, some belittle their features or qualities. Some insist they can't do it. I even had one man throw the mirror across the room. It took him several months before he could begin to relate to himself in the mirror. For years, I looked into the mirror only to criticize what I saw there. Recalling the endless hours I spent plucking my eyebrows, trying to make myself barely acceptable, amuses me now. I also remember it used to frighten me to look into my own eyes. This simple mirror exercise shows us so much. Usually in less than an hour, I am able to get some of the core issues beneath the outer problem. If we only work on the level of the problem, we can spend endless time working out each and every detail. And the minute we think we have it all fixed up, it will crop up somewhere else. The problem is rarely the real problem. She was so concerned with her looks, and especially with her teeth. She went from dentist to dentist, feeling each one had made her look only worse. She went to have her nose fixed, and they did a poor job. Each professional was mirroring her belief that she was ugly. Her problem was not with her looks, but that she was convinced something was wrong with her. There was another woman who had terrible breath. It was uncomfortable to be around her. She was studying to be a minister, and her outer demeanor was pious and spiritual. Beneath this was a raging current of anger and jealousy that exploded now and then when she thought someone might be threatening her position. Her inner thoughts were expressed through her breath, and she was offensive even when she pretended to be loving. No one threatened her but herself. He was only 15 when his mother brought him to me with Hodgkin's disease and 3 months to live. His mother was understandably hysterical and difficult to deal with, but the boy was bright and clever and wanted to live. He was willing to do anything I told him to, including changing the way he thought and spoke. His separated parents were always arguing, and he really did not have a settled home life. He wanted desperately to be an actor. The pursuit of fame and fortune far outweighed his ability to experience joy. He thought he could be acceptable and worthwhile only if he had fame. I taught him to love and accept himself, and he got well. He is now grown up and appears on Broadway with regularity. As he learned to experience the joy of being himself, the parts in plays opened up for him. Being overweight is another example of how we waste a lot of energy trying to correct a problem that is not the real problem. People often spend years and years fighting fat and are still overweight. They blame all their problems on being overweight. The excess weight is only an outer effect of a deep inner problem. When we feel frightened or insecure or not good enough, many of us will put on extra weight for protection. To spend our time berating ourselves for being too heavy, to feel guilty about every bite of food we eat, to do all the numbers we do on ourselves when we gain weight, are just a waste of time. 20 years later, we can still be in the same situation because we have not even begun to deal with the real problem. All we have done is to make ourselves more frightened and insecure, and then we need more weight for protection. So I refuse to focus on excess weight or on diets. The only diet that does work is a mental diet, dieting from negative thoughts. I say to clients, let's just put that issue to one side for the time being while we work on a few other things first.
And if you heard your issue, we want you to think about that. That was Louise Hay, who has been a motivational author and founder of Hay House, a publishing company that has been instrumental in changing thought so that we can truly understand that mind-body-spirit connection. We're going to come back with more after this break. And we're going to talk about some of those signs that you don't love yourself. Think about what in your life you have manifested that she talked about. The extreme disorganized environment. The lack of order, the lack of preparation, many habits that we have that sabotage what could be our success are expressions, as she says, of feelings of insecurity and not being enough. How about not charging enough for your services when you're in business? Think about that. We'll be right back after this quick break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 when you're ready to speak, and we'll come right to you and get your thoughts. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325, and press 1 to speak.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
About finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down to earth. Solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
To the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and today is Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. However, Dr. Debbie Green had to take some time with a patient this morning, so we are sitting in for her and sharing with you some soulful solutions, especially when it comes to recognizing the connection between your mind, body, and spirit, and realizing that the way you feel about yourself will cause you to create your own illness. She said some fascinating things. One of the things I think was really fascinating was the woman who woke up one morning and didn't need her contact lenses and somehow couldn't believe that her eyes had self-corrected for whatever reason and still kept looking for her contacts even though she didn't need them. And, of course, by the next day, her mind had reset itself to produce her nearsightedness, and so she then could not see again. Problems with the eyes are manifestations of a desire to not see, because what you see might be painful to recognize. And if we are seeing things that are hurtful, our brain can just as easily defocus so we don't see things as clearly and it's not as painful to recognize. Well, before we go to our next presenter, we're going to go back to our phone lines and get your thoughts. And if you're listening online, we want you to join this conversation. Give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1. That'll raise your hand on our switchboard, and we'll come to your mic and get your thoughts. We're taking a look at healing some of the diseases caused by unforgiveness, and that includes unforgiveness of yourself as well as others. And when you feel yourself as unworthy, that is unforgiveness of yourself. Let's go to area code 773-737, Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening audience and share your thoughts.
Well, hallelujah. Greetings, Global Transformers, Solutionaries, and Grand Rising. This is Mama D, Wisdom with
hey.
Mama D.
Yeah, looking for Wisdom this Saturday.
Yes, coming up this Saturday, because it falls on Christmas, we have a very special program. And I'm looking forward to being on Facebook. Our theme is the Memorial to the Woman and Preaching the Gospel Globally. Wheresoever the gospel is preached in the whole world, this, that this woman has done, be told as a memorial to her. Over 2,000 years later, why has not that been done? If he came to set the captives free, who were the captives, and what did he set them free from? That's what we're planning to explore from noon to 2 p.m. this Saturday. You know, it was interesting. You said mind, body, spirit. And that's what we usually say. But doesn't the body come before the mind? Would there be a mind if there was no body to hold it, to house it in? So why is that language in that order? Why do we put
mind before body and spirit? Well, you know, that actually
because before everything is the spirit. That is the life force that enters the body. So the spirit manufactures the body. The spirit gives energy to the body. The spirit is the one that animates the body. So it should be spirit, mind, body, because that is order in which things happen.
Oh, okay. Well, the egg and sperm, that's physical material, but you're right. It all starts with the spirit that the creator, the spirit of life, the spirit of breath, because no matter, you know, I've gone over that part many times, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your path. And I'm thinking, well, what kind of way do you have to do anything, any kind of way, if you don't have breath battery? So we need breath battery, and we don't control that breath battery. It's like a car battery. If that car can be a clunker or a Rolls Royce, if it doesn't have a battery, it's not going anywhere. And it can have a battery, but that battery must be charged. We can have a body, but if the spirit of life is not charged, we're not going anywhere. It's called dead, deceased, passed on, transition, whatever. Because we need to also, we can never really take credit for I did this or I did that. You did it with the grace and mercy of breath battery.
That is true. I had a friend who worked in the respiratory department of the hospital. It was a very stressful job for her because you literally only have seconds to keep people alive. If they can't get air, then it doesn't make any difference how wounded they are, how much you patch up the gunshots or the stab wounds or whatever it is. If they cannot get air, they're going to expire. So her job was the first step in keeping them alive. As you said, if you don't have the air that comes through your body to activate everything else, then everything dies. You expire, which means the air goes out and there is no life force energy. So for her, it was such a stressful job. Because if they were going to lose a patient, they were going to lose the patient while they were in her hands. Now, once she kept them breathing, then the other surgeons could do their job. But if she could not keep them breathing, they were gone.
So that's right. That heart is not going to beat, and that brain is not going to function. And this, I think, is the root of forgiveness. If we really realize that we are not in charge of anything, because we are dependent upon that grace and mercy of breath battery being charged, and we did not go to Walgreens and say, I want 25 cents worth of breath battery. It is a gift, you know.
Yes.
It is a gift. And if we could say it is a gift, then whatever little bit of piece of the world puzzle that I have, I'll just work that piece, whether it's 10 talents or 5 talents or just 1 talent. That is my little piece. And it is essential to the working of the whole. A puzzle can be beautiful, but if it's got one piece missing, it's incomplete. You cannot work the world puzzle of life until you put in all the little pieces. And you have your own piece. But we want to say, well, share. I want to share. No, you, in order to share, you must have something to share. When you jump in somebody's car and you hijack it, it wasn't an act of sharing. It was an act of stealing. So we need to know difference. You know, what are you bringing to the table? All you're breathing. You have the breath of life in you. You have something to bring to the table that's your very own. And it's not a matter of just, well, let us share. What are you sharing? It's a two-way street. If we're going to share, both of us are supposed to bring something to the table. And I think knowing the difference between stealing and sharing is a necessary thing, because we don't own anything. That's why I'm so pleased that we have these. You were in, went to Korea, didn't you?
Yes, yes.
So Reverend James Bevel was telling us that when he went to Korea, that the streets were clean enough to eat off of, because the senior citizens cleaned those streets. It was their responsibility, and this is what they did. Now, if we pay to go to gyms, now you won't be able to go to a gym or a movie or a restaurant if you don't have if you're not vaccinated, you know, fully vaccinated, including the booster shot. And you can't go anywhere without that. So to get the exercise, the seniors should step out. First of all, you're letting the community know that there's a senior citizen that lives in this building. You step out and you take care. And I've said this before, you take care of that little spot of land that's between the sidewalk and the curb where all the litter that feeds the rodents are dropped, soil diapers, chicken bones, burger leftovers. We are feeding these rodents, and then they come to your house, bore a hole in your property looking for more food. The seniors were out there being visible. Like my mother, she'd sit on her front porch, and they treated her like a rock star. But We could do this, and look at the exercise that you would be getting that you can no longer get by going to a YMCA or an exercise place, because they want to see that you are fully vaccinated. But the interesting thing is Cory Booker was fully vaccinated, including with the booster, and he still got it. And his case was so mild that he didn't know he got it. That's why they are the super spreaders. They're feeling that, oh, I'm all good. I got my shot and my after shot and my booster shot, and boy, I'm all good. However, you are a super spreader, and you kissing babies, and the babies are spreading it. Because you got this false sense of security, because you're all good, but you're not. No, you're not. You are still getting it. So the emphasis should not be on taking the shot, but taking the test. Because these super spreaders are the ones that are all good.
Well, you know, of course that would make sense if the intention was to keep people from spreading it, but the intention is to sell the shot. So as long as our healthcare system has the motivation and intention to make money, then they're going to focus on the thing that makes money, not the things that make us well. So it's our responsibility to figure that out. You know, we can't blame anybody for being gullible, for not exploring, for not seeing. And the interesting thing that, you know, when Louise Hay spoke about self-esteem and loving yourself and being in a relationship with someone who misuses you, well, that could be an individual, that could be a government. Are people treating you well? Are the people that you trust treating you well? And if they're not, then why are you continuing that relationship with them? Why are you allowing it? So this is a lesson for all of us. I mean, we have to go through this. It's like people who stay in an abusive relationship with someone who beats them and hits them and slaps them and calls them names. You stay there until you figure out you deserve better. And if you never figure it out, then you will just stay there and be abused. So
well, you know,
we're going to this situation until we figure out we deserve better.
Suppose you are just repeating what was taught to you and you consider it normal. I remember when people used to say, a nigga ought to stay in his place. Dr. King ain't doing nothing but making black people look bad, doing all that marching. But they benefited from doing all that marching. So it depends on, that's why the sins of the parents or the errors of the parents are visited on the children, because you are molding this child. If this incest going on since birth, then he's thinking that that's normal. And so when we are raised up with this a dysfunctional world, I mean, look at people kill other people to take their oil, to take their land, and why? At the end of the day, what are you getting out of it? Even if you have 1,000 pairs of shoes, you only have one pair of feet, and you can only
Absolutely.
Wear one pair of those 1,000 shoes.
Absolutely.
So
that's true. So what do you get?
Why what you're saying, creating a better world by improving not just a more perfect union, but it's got to be a more perfect person. And then we can get to a more perfect union.
Well, I believe that is what we must do. You have to first have a more perfect person before you can create a more perfect union. And a more perfect person is one who values themselves enough to admit that what they are receiving is less than what they deserve, and for them to stop allowing themselves to be mistreated. And we have free will to choose something else. But you pointed out something that I know a lot of people are kind of distressed about, and that is the idea of being denied going places that they desire if they don't perform a health act that has been told to them is going to protect them and others. And yet, as you pointed out, people who've done this, they've taken this shot, they are still finding themselves getting the virus that everyone has been taught to be terrified of. So what, and what we're told is, well, but you won't suffer as much. Well, if the intention was to not suffer at all, then we would be looking at a different kind of remedy, if that was the intention. If we decide we don't like being treated this way, and what we're going to do is form places where people agree that they're going to respect your right to your body, and you're going to be able to enjoy your events, and those will be the people who decide to enjoy each other's company. And those will be the people who choose to circulate their financial means among each other. I mean, that's what could easily end up happening, is that you have a certain kind of a segregation and a separation between those who are demanding you take a shot and those who are saying, you know what, I just want you to get tested. If you get tested and you show that you don't have it, I don't care if you've taken a shot or not. That's your choice for your body. I just want you to make sure you're not carrying the virus. If you get tested, that's all you need to do. And I'm not going to violate your right to take care of your own body the way you choose. I just want you to get tested so that you know you're not carrying it. And if you've done that, that's good enough for me. Come on in. That's what's going to happen. And it's our free will to create that kind of environment so that we can make it clear that we're going to respect people's rights for their body, but we also are asking them to be accountable for making sure that they are not carrying something contagious when they move among other people. So now, for those people who are looking for us on Facebook, as gorgeous as I am, and I'd love to share that with you all, We're having camera issues and not able to pull up the camera on our Facebook and YouTube channels. So, I mean, I did all this, you know, got up, fixed my hair and my face and everything, and I can't even show y'all. I'm so sorry. But but trust me, I'm still cute. So we'll just have to hear the illustrious voice of Mama D and the rest of our callers and not be able to see a face. I am so sorry. I apologize for that. But we're going to definitely get that corrected because we got to make sure we can see Mama D on Saturday because, you know, she always be fine and you got to see her to bring this message to us on Christmas Day. And it is quite a message that we need to hear. And, you know, one other thing, and I'm going to go add to this conversation, area code 773-977. Another thing that is really challenging is being able to deal with other people's disapproval of your decisions. Something also that Louise Hay said when people are asked, well, why did you do this thing? Oh, I had to because, you know, my mother said I had to, or my employer said I had to, or other people won't like me if I don't. That mindset where you are not strong enough in your own valuing of yourself to take a stand and stand by it because you're afraid that people will disapprove of you. That fear. So that's another challenge. When we have a very strong propaganda campaign coming from the top down saying, if you don't do this thing, then we won't approve of you. We won't allow you to intermingle with us. Sound like, what is that?
Rudolph the
reindeer. We won't let you play our reindeer in our reindeer game.
We're going to send you to the land of misfit toys.
Yes. So, I mean, that's what happens. If you don't agree to getting stuck, you know, with this needle and injected, then we're going to exclude you. People fear that. They fear the disapproval. And it's going to take some time for people to realize that respect for their own bodies is more important than other people's opinions. And if you let go of the fear, then you can explore other things that give you understanding about how to create an immunity to this virus. And it is possible. But you have to let go of the fear in order for you to have the courage to explore that which is right in front of your face, teaching you how to fortify yourself against an invasion of your body. Because the whole point should be not to get it and suffer less, because the injection tells you, well, if you get it, you'll suffer less. But the idea has to be not to get it at all. And to make sure you don't have it when you're among people. Not to have it and spread it, and then people who also get it suffer less because they've also had the injection. That can't be the intention. Otherwise, we're not helping each other. And we're not moving toward healing and getting rid of the situation. We're only prolonging it longer and longer, and creating a lifestyle where we're depending upon an injection to keep us from fearing getting sick. So how long is it going to take us to learn this lesson? Well, every lesson, it's always our free will. You suffer until you decide to stop suffering. That's how long it takes you to learn the lesson. So, Mama D, again, remind us of when your show is on this Saturday, 12 noon to 2 p.m., on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. And what is the title again?
The title is The Memorial to the Woman, Preaching the Gospel Globally. And we're also going to be talking about, how was it to give birth in a stable? What did it smell like for the poor little Mother Mary, a teenage girl giving birth all by herself? And who's getting all the credit? What's so interesting is the laws of that time. You couldn't touch anything that was holy if you were on your menstrual cycle. Now, here she was, diapering the little holy butt, or there would have been a terrible diaper rash if she didn't put that unholy kit in that little holy mouth. It would have starved to death. And so here we are. He was busting up the myth from Jump Street because she had to touch it.
You know, that's
to be alive and grow up and be crucified on the cross. But his whole ministry was about women.
Yes,
the first captive that he came to set free was a woman. The last one was wheresoever the gospel is preached in the whole world. This that this woman has done, told as a memorial to her. As often as you do this in remembrance of me. That's a personal thing. But the memorial to the woman is a gospel thing. And all these thousands of years, where is the memorial to the woman? And has the gospel really been preached without that little female solution portion?
Well, we're looking forward to that this Saturday, definitely. So tune on in to Wisdom with Mama D here on the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. And we're going to take our last break, and we'll be right back. And area code 773-977 and area code 773-263. We're coming to you next. Thank you so much, Mama D. See you on Saturday, and we will be right back after this last break. So we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment, so stay with us.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Hallelujah, greetings in the spirit of Wayo and Yah Shalom. Wayo means
We are one. Yah is Hebrew sacred name for God, and Shalom means peace. I'm Evangel Mamadi Love Yah Nubian, and I'm inviting you to join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Wisdom with Mamadi. Call in number 515-605-9325. Wisdom, women in support of daughters on motherhood preparation. And spiritually speaking, men who do the will of Yah are mothers too. As a Montessori educator, author, activist, international award-winning poet, and ordained minister, females, I want you to say farewell to all things, seen and unseen, that prevent your potential. You bring forth life and give birth to babies. A kid is an animal beast with four legs. A child is a human being person with two legs. Facts can change feelings, but feelings cannot change facts. A mother teaches love. Love is the arm that reaches out and holds people, persons, and things together. That's what Wisdom with Mama D is about. Join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Call in 515-605-9325 to share your wisdom and love souls into shape. Remember, mother's farewell. If you don't, your child won't. And if he doesn't, society is abused. Females, you are global transformers with the power to change this world. Use it.
Solution Global Radio TV Show. And again, I apologize for those, our video cameras having some issues, so we're not able to bring you a visual image from Facebook and YouTube today. However, I assure you, I am still quite beautiful. So you'll just have to wait till Saturday and see Mama D's beautiful face. Oh, of course, we got Viata tomorrow, and you will see Viata's beautiful face and very flexible body as she leads us in a round of joint rolling. That's the joints on your body, not the mother kind, y'all. And so we want you to join her on her Viata Robinson page, and certainly it's time for healing, so we'll be looking for that. So we're going to go back to our phone lines, and I'll take 273-977-733-263, and then 407-701 in that order. And if you're on our switchboard and got something to say, press 1 now so we can make sure we got time to hear your voice. All right, 773-977, introduce yourself to our listening audience and give us your thoughts.
Good morning. Good morning. Glory to God, and thank God for everyone today.
Yes.
I have really enjoyed this program so far. You know, just to be alive for us today is such a blessing, and to be together on this line. There's so many different topics that we've talked about. However, I enjoyed Mama D also, as well as you. And I really, you know, I feel that mind, body, soul, and spirit, I believe that it all comes in one dose. I believe that once the sperm has entered the egg, the legs, the arms, the eyes and ears, everything else is already there, the soul, the body, the mind, the spirit. I don't think they, you know, the master said, well, I'm just going to wait until they get a certain age and I'll put the head on, or I'll wait until they get a certain age and put the neck on. You know what I mean? We came equipped. Yeah, but we allow man to break that dose. You know, they want to inject us with something that's going to, they know, cause us death, harm. You know, the act of asking for your privacy verification is a violation of the HIPAA Act, and everybody knows that. You don't discuss anyone's private medical needs or, you know, what have you, with anyone without their consent. So who's the governor to violate their own law?
Ooh,
the white man makes the law and the white man breaks the laws. But if it's against the law, why are they doing it to us? You know why? Because we don't do nothing but talk.
Well, we've been frightened into compliance. So fear makes you do what you're told.
We're scared. We're scared to complain. We're scared to complain. And if someone does complain out there, you know they're going to wind up like Dr. King. So what else can we do? We can pray. But anyway, I can feel that firm is fully equipped. I advise anyone who knows anybody who's been fully vaccinated, if they should suddenly be dying and you want to try and resuscitate them, I say no, you should just let them go. And I know we love our people and what have you, but if they've been fully vaccinated, I would never advise you to try to resuscitate. So many horrible things have happened, and they're not telling that. And until they tell what's happening to some of these people who's been vaccinated, they can't tell me to say nothing.
Mm.
Yeah. And
well,
so this one daughter, she tried to help her mother. Her mother was dying, and she tried to resuscitate her mother, and all of the white foam came out of her mother's mouth, and all of the foam right now is still in her mouth. Her mother passed away, and the foam is still on the daughter's mouth. She went to the emergency room. Nobody knows what it is. They told her, just keep Clorox diet on it. So I'm advising everyone to tell your friends and neighbors, if someone is dying, do not resuscitate them. Something foamy came out of her mouth, like bubbles, but it was silver. So I believe all of the injections are good. I don't know. But anyway, I just wanted to announce that and thank you. But I would like to know who agrees with me that the sperm, once it hits the egg, it's automatic life.
Well, thank you.
The beauty that we share today is because of our father. Mm-hmm. I said the beauty that we share today is because of our fathers, how we look right now and how we act. You know, it's because of our father's sperm that hit the mother's egg. And I'm not going to say that we don't have our mother's, genes in us too, because we do. But we're mostly from the father. If he hadn't chosen our mothers, we would not have been here, believe me. God bless you all, and Merry Christmas again. Love you all, and I'll be listening in for Mama D. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you so much, Lord, and God bless you, and enjoy your holiday season, and we're certainly looking forward to you all's thoughts on creation, and most of all, recognition that we are all the life force energy of the Creator, whether we're inside a body or outside a body. That's who we are. Let's go to area code 263, Grand Rising. Introduce yourself to our listening audience and give us your thoughts.
Grand Rising, this is Rashida.
Hey,
Rashida Ali.
Hey,
how are you?
You're
going
to make me add another word to my collection. Okay.
Yeah.
How are you, Rashida?
Oh, I'm good, and I hope everybody's well. I've been in transition for a while, so I've been off the talk show. But I have something. I want the female solutions, females to consider. Since we have this COVID vaccination and people are being fully vaccinated, but vaccines are very effective, but no vaccine protects 100%. You know, a very small number of people will get the COVID even though they are vaccinated. And it's been proven, okay, if you have infection before being vaccinated and infections a few days after being vaccinated, there's new variants. So what I've done, I'm traumaphobic. I'm fear of injury, so I have to use a lot of prevention. So I've joined a female. Her name is Dr. Britt. She's an MD. She's a physician, scientist, researcher, and a former White House COVID coordinator. and she's one of the highest-ranking infectious disease experts in the world. She's a retired Army physician. She's a retired Army physician who rose to the rank of colonel, and she was the global AIDS coordinator, and she headed President George Bush and Barack Obama emergency plan for AIDS relief. She's also published 220 manuscripts. But needless to say, all of that, they have come up with a technology designed by NASA eliminate the virus that caused COVID-2 and COVID-19. It's designed by the guy who designed a spaceship. So they have a double-blind 2-year clinical study done in hospitals and operating rooms. So they estimate enrollment of 86,000 patients. So with this device, they have the personal one that you can wear around your neck, and it covers 1,250 square feet around your body to eliminate the virus, the airborne virus. So I would like to come on or talk to you more about it, Naima, but like I said, I've been in transition. I had another fatality, and I haven't been able to keep even my same phone or number. So if you could kindly text me your number, I would like to talk to you about it so you can share it with your listening audience, if it's okay. Because it's been proven over 80% reduction in flu and sick days, and et cetera. So I'd like to talk to you about it, and then perhaps if you see that it's good, we can promote it and generate some revenue as well. Because it's a powerful weapon in the fight against COVID-19, sincerely. And knowing myself, since I am thomophobic, I'm fear of injury. I'm very precautious about anything that I take into my body. People have been trying to convince me. This is Sevilla. She's a school teacher. She took the COVID and the booster, and she died from the disease. And I have several people, God is my witness, that I know that has not been biosafety with this pandemic. So I'm not going, and I have COPD likely, and I'm not going to let no devil or devil advocate convince me to take that shot. So this is my approach to healing and also generating revenue and have a peace of mind for protection, you know. So I would like to talk to you about it, and I'm glad to hear Mama D is back, you know, with her wisdom. That's a good thing because I haven't been listening.
All right. So I got your new number, so we'll talk, and you can expound. That'll be great.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you.
We're going to have 100 boxes so far. Okay, you're welcome.
We'll be talking soon. Got your number. I'll call you, and I'll text you my number as well. Well, all right then. Well, we've got another call on the line. Area code 407-701. I believe this is our sister of the microphone down in Florida, Viana, Grand Rising.
Grand Rising, my sister. I'm glad you made the adjustment without having a camera. That's what we do. Things happen.
We do.
But thank you. Tomorrow, I'm going to hopefully talk to my centenarian friend. He made 100 years old this year, and I want him to share how he made it to this number, 100. And the interesting thing, this man has been vaccinated, and he has diabetes, and he lost a left eye, and he's still walking around without a cane. And so I want to share his story with people, the real secret to reaching 100. And I'm going to also try and share what some doctors are doing to get their patients well without vaccinations, and they're being persecuted greatly. So that it's important that we know that. But as I'm hearing from Lois and our other sister, there's nothing like a personal testimony, a personal experience to share with people about what's happening with these jabs, because we're not getting it from the media. And unless you have a personal experience with someone in your life, then you're going to be thinking, oh, everything is safe and effective, and it's not. because these jabs have always had major side effects. That's why we have a increase in autism. If you look at the increase in autism over the years, you will see that as they increased the jabs in our children, the autism rate went up. So there's a connection, but again, your personal experience is the best teacher for all of us to have a testimony about how these jabs are not safe and effective. They've always had side effects, and we just don't hear about them until it hits our family. So tune in tomorrow. We're going to get high, rolling some joints, not the paper kind, but on life, because this body is amazing. And who is it? The answer to the sperm question, to me, is that is just part of the divine process that our Creator put in place from the time we were star seeds of light in the cosmos. And the whole divine process began where we entered the mother's womb. And my mother wanted to abort me, along with Mama AZ. We tell our stories a lot about how our mothers wanted to abort us, but it didn't happen. So whether the sperm meets the egg or not or whatever, it's all a divine process of purpose in our life. We all have a divine purpose to be here and to do certain things. And like you were saying, make choices in our life that we shouldn't have regrets about. Whatever choice we make it, most of us, in love and to help others. But we make these choices as part of this whole divine purpose. And built into our body as we were created for 9 months. We got to remember 9 months. It took the love energy to put this body together. And here we are. So thank you, Naima, for a good conversation. And I'll look for you tomorrow in the studio or in the house.
Absolutely. Well, I'm looking forward to another great session with Viata and health and well-being tomorrow. I'm just so proud of our team of hosts. I mean, we have, and we don't all necessarily always agree on everything, but we have learned to accept each other's different point of view and respect each other's point of view and still share our wisdom, which is so amazing. It's just profound. We've all reached a stage in our lives where we are self-assured in who we are, so we can allow our sisters to be who they are and express their own individuality. And it's a fantastic thing. And that's how the world is supposed to work. Everybody's not supposed to be the same. We are different and unique expressions of the divine energy of creation. So nobody is incorrect. Everybody is their own expression of that which is perfect, which is the divine energy of creation. So when we realize that, then we don't need to criticize anybody or be angry at anybody or unforgiving at anybody, because we know that they are expressing a different aspect of divine energy. That's who they are. And it's a wonderful thing. So now when we look at even those that choose to be born, and we do choose, and the bodies that we create, like Viata said, the love energy that goes into energizing those cells and manufacturing that body, that life force that comes into it, the divine energy of creation that we call God, that comes into it as the child emerges from the womb and breathes in that breath of life. Well, you know, sometimes the mother may think, I don't want this child, but that child came to teach them something. And so that child might say, well, I'm staying, and I'm going to do what I came to do, which is teach you this lesson that you need to learn. I'm here to help you evolve. So, yes, we might have been born to mothers who thought they didn't want us. And some of us might decide, you know what, I changed my mind. She's not ready yet, and I'll wait till another time. And those are the stillborns, those who at some point they realize, no, this isn't the best time for me to come and do what I want to do, so I change my mind. So that life force energy, it goes back into the all, the one, the creator and the creative consciousness of the universe until that life force energy decides, okay, now here's a better time for me to come and do this work that I want to do. So we're always making up our minds. We're always using our free will to make choices all the time. And even now, we have the power to make the decision about what we want to do with our bodies and how to protect and keep our bodies safe and even how to be compassionate and conscious of other people's needs and their safety as well. We have that ability to do that, but we also have a responsibility to ourselves to grow, and we must grow and evolve out of a need to be controlled by others, not believing we are worthy of believing in our own inner guidance, which comes from the divine. We're all connected. So this is our time to learn that lesson. People will steer you towards something that follows an agenda that they have. And it might not be in your best interest, but it will play on your fears and your beliefs in unworthiness if you have them. So we are looking forward to all of us in the human family learning this about. So join us. Come on, join us Saturday.
We've come
listen
to the end
Mother
of our show today.
Come on back
but you
again
can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution.
So
you can
us.
Also hear today's show on the
and
Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe, India, Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Jeong Kunyong, France, Merci, Spain, Gracias, Italy, Grazie, Egypt, Shukran, Ghana, Madasi, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Jared, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.